We are recording.
Okay, good evening folks, it's 6 PM on Wednesday, March 15th, and I call this business meeting of the National Airport Authority to order. So, roll call please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Secretary Holland.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
There.
Here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
All present.
Okay.
Well, Jeff is out of town, but here, virtually.
For virtual, definitely, yes. So public input as it relates to this evening's agenda. Any takers? Okay, we'll take that as a no. Minutes, approval of the NAA public minutes of February 15, 2023.
Motion to accept.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on approving last month's minutes? Okay, I'll take that as a no, and this will be a roll call.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Let's see. Treasurer's report. Approval of the February 2023 financial statement subject to audit. Take it away, David.
So I went through the state. I'm not going to go too much of a deep dive for this month. I'm going to, unless anybody objects, I'm going to try and do a deeper dive on the quarter, the March statements. But in February, the biggest thing of note is that we usually anticipate the registration fees in the month of February, but they came in, Susan just mentioned to me today. So the registration fees from the DOT came in today. It's 35.5. We haven't had much of 4 in the past today. So other than that, the financials, nothing of real note for February. We're still ahead of the game with as far as the year-to-date is concerned. So we're still tracking in a good way there. We had lower diesel costs this month, but that'll be taken care of in March. Right, pretty good. So there's nothing. Liquidity is there. The cash is good. We did move it just in light of recent developments in the banking industry. We do have our money in a protected or covered FDIC covered accounts at this point. So. We're in good shape there. So that's all I got for now.
Make a motion to accept the February 2023 financial subject to audit.
Second. Yep. Anybody have any other discussion or questions?
Okay, if there's no further discussion, Chris, will you take the roll, please?
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
And Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Let's see. Next up for our treasurer, approval of the FY 2022 financial audit.
Okay, I went through this audit. The numbers, in total are good. I have a bunch of questions. I thought the fellow would be here tonight. But there's some presentation issues that I want to fix. The biggest question I had was regarding the leases, and maybe Susan can help with that. I understand that we had to adopt a new GASB this year, 87, that basically capitalizes all of our leases. Mm-hmm. And beginning balance is simply it's a grossing up of the balance sheet. You get $7 million on the asset side, and then $7 million on the deferred revenue side, and that's sits there and they both amortize themselves over time. And at the end of the day, the theory is they're supposed to be zero at the end of the day, amortization-wise. So it's just a different way of recognizing revenue, which we're not going to do on our internal statements. We're going to, that's going to be a year-end audit investment only. But the question I had is at the end of the first year of adoption, we're upside down. I'm kind of wondering how that happened. In other words, the asset portion of the leases was less than the revenue, the deferred revenue side of the leases. I'm just kind of curious as to how that happened in such a short time. And there's some other presentation things in here I was hoping to be able to, so I'll probably end up giving the guy a call this week, before the next meeting and go over some of these things with him. But I guess to keep things moving, what you're saying is we have to approve these in order for him to come with the finals next time?
Yeah, he'll do the finals. But if you have some questions for him,
well,
approve it pending your.
Right, approve it pending your.
Yeah, that's fine. But, yeah, so barring, assuming the numbers, and he gives me a satisfactory explanation for some of the numbers, which he probably will.
Mm-hmm.
The presentation is basically to get on a few of the comparative pages this year and last year.
Mm-hmm.
They both say 2021 on them.
I did see that was changed here.
Yeah, if you look at this copy, it's correct.
Okay,
so there's
that stuff, but there's also some other wording in there, some of the footnotes. He references footnote, in the capital assets, he references footnote 5, or it really should be 4.
This stuff should be fixed before we approve it.
I know.
I would think he still should be able to come, and as long as they address it before, during the time of the next month, we can approve it at the beginning, and he can present it. He can present it later.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we aren't happy with what he presents during the month, then he doesn't come to the meeting because we're not prepared to approve it.
Yes, okay. I did have the, after I sent it out and I was glancing through them because I wanted to get them to you, to all of you, and then I was looking and I was like, oh no, so I emailed them right away. He sent it right back to me and I was like, oh wait, just when I printed out copy, just writing notes.
But I mean, some of the wording in there is just,
yeah.
I look at it, our citizens and be a good neighbor. I'm like, why is that in the set of financial statements?
If I could ask a question about the new reporting, is each lease amortized individually?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we also had a the OPEB valuation.
Yeah, that was a big hit. Great. But well, yeah, it doesn't surprise me because for years and
what do you see as the OPEB?
Well, what do you mean, the 118,000? The change?
188,000. 5,000 is the one that we get from the city. It's usually around 5,000, 6,000. But they had one of our employees as a retiree this year. So it went up to 60-something thousand. And because we are in the city of Bachelor, we are in the same pool as the retirees.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he was flagged. He's newer compared to one black one came on, and he was not flagged that he was an airport. And that he was the airport, but he was under retiree, and I don't think you're the job person kind of.
I'm not following.
It's not on this report. He still has to update that part of it as well, because he didn't get the OPEB valuation until Monday.
Isn't that what we've been waiting for, which is why the statements have been so long already?
Yep.
You're saying now there's another delay?
We just got the report on Monday from the city of Nashua, and I got these on Monday as well. And usually our OPEB valuation never changes. It's continuously the same.
Right.
In reality, we don't receive any post-employment benefits.
Right, but we have a liability
right.
that keeps growing as you guys, you know, as you guys invest. Because
mm-hmm.
what happens with every employee is that the actuary looks at them and say, okay, assuming they're going to be here for X years,
right?
So the retirement and their salary today goes incrementally wherever it goes,
mm-hmm.
and then if that happens, then at the end of their retirement, they're going to get paid out over their lifetime, and they compare those dollars. They say, okay, you know, this person's going to, you know, if the plan calls for, you know, 75% of your last 3 years' income is what you're going to get, or whatever the percentage is. Then what they do is, okay, so how long are you going to live? You know, okay, this person's, you know, 62, they're going to live. So the actuary on the table is betting on with the 82. So for 20 years, they're going to pay this out. And so that's how the actuary comes up with that number. So it is you guys as well as the city. It's the city's plan, but you're all buried in that, right? The New Hampshire retirement plan.
I don't think it's anything to do with our pension. It has to do with, because we have our pension liability on it.
And you're talking about the other part of it.
Yeah,
like
the health insurance part of it.
Okay, the same kind of calculation.
We don't get any health coverage when we retire.
You don't?
No.
So why are we getting hit with it?
Something to do. Rose explained it to me today, and
okay.
It's kind of a little confusing to me, but apparently it has to be on there.
Okay.
So that number, the OPEB number, is usually low.
Yeah.
Right around $5,000-$6,000.
Which OPEB number? There's about 20 of them in here.
I know.
Well, it's just part of what they have to fix and present.
6783, the OPEB liability. It's on your statement of that position.
Okay, so it's part of the balance. That's that was not the footnotes. It's not within the discussion.
Right, it's in the balance sheet.
And what number are you saying it is?
6783, the OPEB liability.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
And then that pension liability.
Yes, that is.
Steve, if I go back and look at the change in, which I had a question about,
we have our
the
own
change in assets
account in HRS. That doesn't have anything to do with the city.
Okay. All right. We'll talk more about this offline. I don't want to pass the meeting to
this,
but you're saying you guys don't get health insurance.
We're retired now, we do not have health insurance, but we got
a piece of this that's accruing for health insurance. Okay. All right, so that piece isn't all that big.
Uh-uh. It's immaterial, pretty much.
Okay. All right, so I guess the deal is we can't approve these right now. Is that what you're saying, Brian? Okay, so then he's going to come. So we need to get a few answers and get this stuff cleaned up between now and the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still going to come to the next meeting.
Hopefully.
But in the meantime, he'll fix things.
Right. If you want to meet with me, and we'll talk with him.
But we're already getting OPEB changes, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
We're already getting changes to that. So, yeah. So we can't.
And there'll still be a footnote.
So we can't do anything about it now.
Yeah, and there'll be a footnote explaining that.
Okay, so if we wanted to, we could approve these tonight. Okay, great. This is why.
Is it possible for us to review any updates and then do something like an intermediate meeting with the board? Is there some provision for us doing that?
We probably could, Jess, but frankly, I don't want to make it that easy on them. I want them to get this thing right, and we'll either approve it or not approve it at the next meeting.
Well, and this is a document that seems somewhat routine, but it's a, this is the document that is the annual report.
Oh, it is. It is.
It's an important.
It's an important document, and it's incorporated in the city's financial statements. You know, this is, you know, the only reason we do this is because it's part of the city's audit, and because the city has to put out a comprehensive financial report, which is usually due at the end of December. Well, I'm not with that firm anymore.
They filed for an extension.
The city did. Yeah, I know.
Do we know what the new date is for their report? Are we going to run afoul with the city's auditors if we're not getting ours done?
Yeah, well, that's a good point, Jess, is because here's the thing. Whatever the city's deadline is, if they don't have this report approved, they can't publish it.
Right.
Because this is an integral part of that report. So it's incumbent on everybody to get this thing right by next meeting.
Okay. Any more discussion on that? We're going to table the approval of the FY 2022 financial results for financial audit for next meeting.
Yeah. At which time we'll have get more clarification on these questions I asked with the auditors and the fixes they're supposed to do.
Okay. So that brings us to communications. I don't see anything under that. Reports. So the tower.
Oh, sorry to interrupt, Carol. Did we need to make a motion and vote on just our normal financial statements, though?
We did.
Not the audit?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we took care of that. So, tower report. And what I see for February of this year, 4,154 operations. So that's up 102 versus January, and year to year it's off by 351. So that brings us to manager's report.
Okay. Recent events. We had a snowstorm yesterday, in case anybody didn't notice. I think it's hopefully the last one for the season, but Sue tells me we might have another one coming Sunday.
Yeah, I was.
That was
my phone ringing for me.
Got all of April to get through.
So, no recent events. Upcoming events, as we've discussed in the past, City of Nashville Summer Fun 2023 Wheels and Wings event here at Nashville Airport for September 23rd. I've been in contact with a couple of car clubs as well this year, so I might have a large turnout of Corvettes and Pontiacs.
No portion?
Well, we could work on that too, I guess. Then I'd be distracted. Other items of interest. The scheduled fuel farm inspection with the EPA was postponed due to weather, and he has since rescheduled that for April 11th. I received a contract from Ty and Bond for the Jet A 20,000-gallon fuel tank inspection, including a contract for Clean Harbors to do the cleaning of the tank portion of the inspection process, and I received an updated version of that draft today. And to kind of jump ahead and go back here, I also submitted our SPCC with the EPA, and they determined that it was not in conformance to the current day standards. So I went ahead and I spoke with Nick from Gale Associates, and I also spoke with the gentleman from Ty and Bond, the people that are going to be doing the tank cleaning, and he resubmitted to us a proposal to do both the tank cleaning and the SPCC. And after speaking with Nick and Matt, we've decided that the Ty and Bond route is the way we're going to go with the SPCC update. It's something that they do on a regular basis.
And is that what we have now?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the...
So there's a quote, there's...
The 14-1?
Yep, that is for the SPCC update and the tank inspection, integrity inspection. And you have another quote there from Clean Harbors for their part of the...
So this is... So Clean Harbors is an addition.
Yes.
And... So that's...
It's
that's
two
a 6,000...
Oh, no. The Clean Harbors was...
Estimated fee is 6,000. Oh.
95,
yeah, it's almost 10,000. And looking back at, you know, the past when we last had this done, Ty and Bond's quote is fairly in line with what they quoted us last time. The Clean Harbors portion has gone up significantly.
Okay, what am I? I'm on page 5 of Clean Harbors. I'm seeing this thing called Task 1, 50-50. I see another page.
So if you go to page 4 of 10,
right, that's, okay,
the total quotes, 9,540.
Yeah, I don't think they have that recovery
fee. Okay, so the recovery fee is no longer in there anymore.
This is a drop in the summary.
All right, so that's a $25,000, $24,000 change.
Right, so the tank inspection, cleaning, and the updated SPCC.
Okay, question I have, Susan, is this thing budgeted?
$10,000 of it was budgeted, Dave.
Okay. Well, that's a, that's...
The SPCC wasn't budgeted, tank inspection was.
So the tank, so that equivalent would be the 14,000? No.
Would
what
be...
In other words, what would be the, if we just did the tank inspection?
It's about 16,000. Almost 17.
Okay. So we're choosing to go with a, well, we're not choosing, but so the Apple, so the budgeted, which was off of the prior,
correct,
run through, was 10,000, and that number is now 16 change. And then what we do, we're adding on to that something else that we need to do.
Yeah. The EPA has come through and they're doing the site inspection, tank inspection, and the EPA per, I don't remember the CFR, Nick, you might know it, they require that you have an up-to-date SPCC.
And that is something...
Sorry,
that
I need to put you on the spot.
All right.
Nick,
it's there somewhere.
Just
got to give him that.
I don't want to know anyway. So now, is that something that...
So we had an SPCC...
Something new?
That popped up when...
No. We had an SPCC when they first installed these tanks.
Yeah.
And it was never... reviewed, revised. I don't even have a copy of it. And so we started digging into this, and we got a copy of it through the state's one-stop portal.
Yeah.
So technically it should have been updated every 3 years,
huh,
and it never was. Nobody knew it existed.
Is this something we need to do now every 3 years,
yep,
after this?
Yeah.
And what's the
but they, it, they won't be updates like... No, like this, the initial
no,
cost here.
Yeah.
It's
more of an update.
Yeah.
So, you know what that cost is going to be roughly?
No.
Okay.
It's record keeping
like,
and...
Stuff like tanks and equipment stuff, roofs on a hangar, whatever, we need to start putting that, we need to start amortizing that into a budget, a longer term budget kind of thing. Yeah, the EPA's got their fingerprints all over our numbers here. Between the PFAS stuff that we got to spend money on and now this.
I don't see that.
You don't see what? The 10,000? We'll talk about it afterwards, but you showed it to me a couple of weeks ago. It's in there.
Okay.
Question there?
I was just wondering what was deficient.
What was what?
In the FCC, what did they say was deficient?
What's deficient?
There's an inspection log that needs to get added, as well as training schedule.
Okay. Thank you.
the training schedule for...
There should be annual training for the operator of the test.
So prevention, control, we have a tank, so we've got to do all that kind of stuff too. I just wondered if, just double check with them on my, since page 4 and 5 is different a little bit. Do you guys call this the Phillips Fuel Farm?
No, but that's what it was registered as, I believe.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if they've mixed proposals from other a little bit.
I'll talk to them.
Different pages, 4 and 5, and Thomas Heller, and, you know, that they should probably clean.
Well, Thomas Heller's the guy that sought the quote from Ty and Bond for us.
Okay.
Because they work with Clean Harbors when they do these jobs.
Who's Thomas Heller?
He's the gentleman that works for Ty and Bond.
Oh. So he's not something else that we're paying, right?
But otherwise, I think we have to move forward with this stuff. Today's world.
I understand we have to do it. I just don't know. I'm just so curious as to how we missed it for so many years. That I worry about. What else is out there that we're thinking?
Well, I worry about it too, Dave, but this has been since like 1992, and we have nothing on it. And yeah, I mean, we get reports on a regular basis from Infinity. Mm-hmm. We do reports on the fuel tank quantities, etc. And so we were keeping logs, but had no idea that this SPCC existed.
So, just to help with refresh my memory, right? So Infinity owns, who owns the tanks?
We own the tanks. The Airport Authority.
The Airport Authority owns the tanks. And Infinity
leases the fuel farm from us.
Leases the fuel farm. Okay. So as the landlord, if you will, we have a responsibility to maintain the integrity of the tanks.
As the owner of the facility, yes.
That's an interesting question. I wonder if they have an SPCC. That would qualify.
I've met with Greg and Bob Rennie several times on this. They're going to be involved in the inspection. They don't have an SPCC. We have it. It's an engineered stamp document.
Okay. It is an interesting... Our own due diligence, we should probably require that they have built control plans and, you know, response. I'll take a look at what we've got as well and see if there's anything I'd recommend that we talk to Greg about. What do they do if they have a leak?
We have stuff in place for that,
okay,
per the old SPCC, but there are other things. In talking to the gentleman from EPA, you have to be under contract with somebody as soon as you have a spill to come clean it up. Like Greg had told me, well, they do business with Clean Harbors, they do business, they don't have a contract, so we're going to establish a contract for them. There was a whole list of things. And as far as the training schedules go, that'll include employees of the people operating the fuel farm.
Yeah, good.
So, David, from a budget perspective, now that we know we're going to have this new, you know, recurring charge every 3 years, are we going to look at adjusting the rental rate for the fuel farm?
I don't know if we can.
You can't. So as the way the lease was written, it seems like they have this $750 a month lease in perpetuity. Years ago, the board raised those rates on Greg, I guess, for a few years, and Greg finally looked into it and
you can't do this.
Pulled out the lease, and the National Airport Authority had to write a pretty healthy check to Greg.
As a payback.
Yeah, not a very good lease the way it was written.
My concern from a budgetary perspective is, you know, I hate surprises, and I understand not why. But I'm wondering, is there a way to do any kind of a deeper dive on some of these environmental things so that we can anticipate or we can get ahead of this stuff? You know, for future years, is there anything else we're missing or that we're involved with? I understand the PFAS thing is out of the blue. That comes out of, but you know, the fuel farm, and I don't know what else we've got, you know, oil separation stuff or whatever. Are there things that we think we have in place, but maybe we don't, or that our tenants have, that the tenants are supposed to have in place, but they don't? I want to make sure that this environmental regulatory nonsense, you know, is a little bit trying to get ahead of it.
Well, it sounds like this comes under the category of, like, we don't know what we don't know.
I know, I understand that, but...
And we did know that, you know, we had tank inspections.
Right.
From the last time we had it, and they told us these tanks are alternating every 5 years. But this SPCC, like I said, Dave, I apologize, I didn't know it existed.
No, but I understand this particular case. I'm just wondering what else might be out there.
Is this a codified CFR thing? Does this exist in the CFR itself? So, is there a way to kind of comb through the CFRs and see, you know, gee, I want to start an airport tomorrow. What do I need to do? I'm sure there's no easy way of doing that, right? So,
the only other environmental permit per se I can think of would be your SWIP, which has been updated.
Yes.
So, aside from this, I think you guys are pretty much in compliance.
All right. Well, I guess what I want to do too, then, especially with this, then, is to okay, it's 24,000 this year, and we got to do things periodically, 3 years, five years, whatever the case may be. Let's schedule that out on a piece of paper somewhere so we can incorporate a piece of that, an annual piece of that, into our budget, so that we don't have one big $24,000 budget item pop up in 1 year. We set it aside. We reserve against it. You know, $8,000 a year if it's a 3-year thing.
And Dave, these tank inspections, they were on different schedules, the Avgas versus Jet A.
Yep.
And there is a folder back at the airport authority with two different numbers, handwritten time intervals.
Mm-hmm.
Which is which. So these are the things I dug out recently.
Okay.
And, you know, one of them was correct, one of them was not correct, so nobody knew from day one.
Right.
And so the gentleman from Ty and Bond read into the CFR all the regulations to do with it. He said this tank has to be done now, and they look back to the last date of the last tank, and that one's coming up soon too, the Avgas again.
Okay, so let's...
So we thought there was a 30-year, one of the handwritten things said there was a 30-year interval on the Jet A. Well, this stuff was done, was it 2012, I think we looked up? Well, that's about 30 years. So that's why this one's a surprise too.
That's fine. I understand where we're at. What I'm trying to do is anticipate going forward what these costs are going to be.
Right.
So, you know, we know it's not 30. So, you know, what is it, chapter and verse? Why is it? You know, what's the requirement and the support for that requirement? And then how much can we project the cost is going forward for these things? So this is only the Jet A piece.
Correct.
So we got the
We did the Avgas a couple of years. 2020 we did the Avgas.
Right, I remember
so that'll be in 2025 the next inspection.
All right, so that's what I was getting at. So maybe in the next budget, what we're gonna be doing pretty soon, you know, for 2024, you know, we put half of that in there. Whatever it's going to be. I want to reserve.
I want the
expense amount in the budget.
Okay.
And you know, a piece of it. You know, if it's two more years, then half of it. If it's three more years, but if it's five.
Of course,
years,
one you show me something in there.
We have it in 2022 budget, but I don't think we ever used it.
Right.
But my point is that means we were over budget. We had a surplus, and part of that surplus was because we didn't spend it.
Right.
So it didn't carry forward.
Well, it kind of does. It's in the.
Well, that's
in
what
the,
I thought you showed.
It's in that number that says unrestricted.
And in terms of forecasting these costs, Dave, just so you know, back in 2012, I don't have the exact number on me. But I can tell you it was like a couple thousand dollars to do these inspections. So the costs have gone up exponentially on these. You know, when you're talking 2,000 to 3,000 and now we're at 26,000, it's kind of tough to put a number on it.
But at least we put a number on
it.
And if it goes up, then we deal with it.
I think, and you mentioned it, but I didn't really touch on it in much detail, about having a spill response contract, right? That's come forth from the well.
Yes, Greg is going to have that place because he's the operator.
Good. So it will be his responsibility to pay for that?
For the contract and any spill that happens, yes.
Okay. So you need a motion for us to approve and proceed with these with contracts?
Yes. And I will, you know, pending reaching out to Clean Harbors and questioning things that Brian brought up on the proposal. I received these today like everybody else did, so I need to really go through it with a fine-tooth comb.
So when will this actually happen?
Once you sign a contract with Ty and Bond, they say that they will act within 30 days of contract.
On site, so it'll be on site.
Yes.
Doing the inspection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for this, how do they do that? Do they offload the tank somehow?
Oh, yeah. Well, what they do is they'll plan, we'll put them in touch with Greg.
Right. But Greg doesn't order 10,000 gallons the day before.
Correct. He wants to get it as low as he can.
Yeah, okay.
So
that's all part of the deal.
And then they remove it and scrub the tanks. And they put men inside them with fresh air systems. And
they say tanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your business.
Thanks for your business, yeah. Room shot. all right, so I'll put forward the motion.
Yes, please.
I take back my comment that we're going to end up with a surplus this year. In light of that, duly noted. All right, so we'll put forth a motion then to authorize Manager Lynch to proceed forward with the Ty and Bond and Clean Harbors contract as presented.
Okay, I'll second. Any further discussion? Okay. Would you call the roll, please, Chris?
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries.
So you're going to still fine-tune those things, right, Chris?
Yes.
Cut them up.
Yep. Okay, the only other thing I was going to report on was I signed the grant application for Texaway Alpha. Gale Associates had submitted this to NHDOT. I'm sure Nick will speak more about that. And that's all I can talk about.
Okay. So that brings us to the end here. All right. Nick Toledo from Gale for reporting. Gail is administering, how many works now? Four projects on behalf of the authority. The first one being the Rehabilitate Taxiway Alpha and Associated Taxiways Construct Only Grant. Bidding is now complete. The little bidder was Continental Paving with a bid price of $2,466,070. Grant applications were prepared, signed, and submitted to NHDOT on March 8, 2023. And we prepared a letter of recommendation to award the project to Continental Paving. A notice of award and contract will be circulated on authorization from the board to proceed. So we will be looking for a motion to authorize Gale to circulate the contractor's contract.
Is the delta between those two numbers the Gale fee or something?
That fee, the total includes Gale construction based service.
Okay. Any questions? When will there be shovels in the ground? Is it there?
It's a shovel-ready project.
My guess is there's going to be some lead time on the electrical components. What we're hoping is for an August start date.
Start date in August. Huh. Seems pretty far out.
Yep.
I can circle back to the contractor and confirm that and let you guys know.
So you need a motion for what now, Nick?
To circulate the contract between the National Airport Authority and the contractor for that project.
All right, so for the motion to circulate the contract between the contractor and the National Airport Authority as presented by Gale Associates.
Okay. Well, second. Any discussion on that? Okay, call the roll, please, sir.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you very much. The second project is the rehabilitated golf ramp and foxtrot ramp. The grant is now in place, and the first reimbursement request for project-related costs has been submitted, and I believe paid by NHGOG. So we're in good shape. Our early contractor has started submitting shot costs for the work, and they have indicated that April 15th is their potential start date for the golf ramp work. One item of note is the DIL funds that are going to be used for foxtrot ramp have not been appropriated at this time. Based on our discussions with NHGOG, they said that they did not need a separate grant application, that they would issue the grant once those funds became available. I'll reach out to DOT just to confirm that, and I'll let you guys know what they say. But no recommended actions at this time.
Who's the contractor?
That is also contracted.
Okay.
What chance is there that we can, as they finish this, they'll be able to move in now so that they can stay on site, keep going?
There may be a gap, depending on the timing of the Pathway Alpha grant.
If you're talking about shovels in the ground on August roughly, it would make sense to lose together.
It would save them a tremendous effort in the mobilization of all the equipment, that's
right.
For sure. But historically, we know how these grants go.
Yeah, but we haven't gotten bids on this yet, right?
Yeah, this has been bid. Awarded.
Okay, so there's no, is there an opportunity to pay less if they do stage it together?
I don't know that the authority would either.
So they provide a credit change order, I guess. You know, if you guys can save in mobilization, you know, probably not.
We can certainly ask.
Yeah.
But,
okay. No, I'm just
thinking like a contractor, I don't see a reason why they would.
See, I'm thinking like an accountant.
Should be the accountant for the contractor.
Yeah, right.
I mean, in a perfect world, the project would have been constructed in the year they were anticipated to.
Yeah. In a perfect world, there would have been a.
They already had some plan in between anyway.
In a perfect world, they would have moved around like they were supposed to.
Any other questions on the golf and box shop?
Quick question. How's that going to impact the movement of aircraft?
You'll still have the inner taxiway access.
Okay.
It's not going to affect the runway at all.
I think he was referring more to our hangars, your hangar, my hangar, his hangar, they're all stacked right in front of that.
They're working on the two ramps and Alpha, one right after the other, you know.
We say we can maintain 2 points of access to the runway at all times. So,
taxiing on the runway, maybe, if we have to.
There would be back taxiing in some cases.
And then Infinity will be operating their transients out of the tower ramp, the south end of the tower ramp during this project, because their transient ramp will be all being redone.
Any other questions? All right, moving on to the third project is the AWOS relocation. We've received comments on the draft scope of work from the NHDOT and FAA. We've made those edits, and we are currently holding off on circulating those documents because we want to, it's just more of a level of comfort for me. We want to wait until we see the FAA's reimbursable agreement to make sure that all of the necessary tasks have been covered either by us or by the FAA.
Mm-hmm.
I received an email updating the status of the reimbursable agreement. They have been drafted and they are currently under managerial review at the FAA. So hopefully we see those in the future. That way we can compare them and then move forward with the project. Other than that, no real update. Any questions on the AWOS project?
So Seth is going to be.
I have a question for Nick. If you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, just curiosity about the duration of that project. It doesn't sound like it's that long of an issue, but just curious how long the AWOS will be down for. I'll probably have some indication on my first question.
The AWOS would only be down for a matter of days. We would get all the site work done, the new foundations and holes in the ground, and then it would be a matter of the FAA simply shutting off the AWOS, moving the equipment, and turning it back on.
Got it. Okay. Thanks for that.
Yep.
So, Nick, it says the weather equipment will be moved to a location between taxiway Alpha on the 1-4 and taxiway Bravo. Yes. Bravo's on the southeast.
Yeah. Correct.
I thought
it would be between Delta and Charlie.
Okay.
I know we talked about that in the past. I thought you'd made that correction now.
Which is somewhere in the area.
It's actually correct.
So as part of the FAA scope, they're going to do a siting study. I know that the master plan has identified the location we're proposing, but that still has to be vetted by the FAA.
Okay.
So it may change, but not likely.
Hopefully they'll go with it, because there just wasn't really a lot of places we could put that.
They didn't seem to have any opposition to it when we had our meeting.
Okay. And I'll hand it over to Matt for the property action.
Sure. Real quickly on the land acquisition project, I have the draft appraisal report for the land acquisition project, and I believe we're going into executive session this evening to discuss that, the financial aspect of that, and perhaps an offer to the property owner. So I'll defer until executive session on that.
Okay. Any questions for our friends from New York tonight? Okay, so that brings us to committees. We don't have any outstanding committees. Old business. Greg Leeson is not here tonight, but do you have any updates?
I believe the ball is in the authority court with the land lease at this point.
Greg was yet to. We had that meeting with the city folks, and Greg was ironing out some details for that. And he, I believe, is still stuck out of town due to weather, so he could not make it tonight.
Are all those colored flags out there related to this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So my the order of events, is it the city and Infinity have to agree on a site plan for that, and then we figure out the square footage and what the lease rate will be?
The boundary of the land lease, I believe, has already been established.
This is
a matter of processing the land lease paperwork.
The city, when we had the meeting with the city, there seemed to be a bit of confusion as to how you take and carve out this piece of land. So it's a subdivision. Well, it's not really a subdivision. This is leased land that we lease from the city. We're not putting sidewalks in or anything else that comes along with a subdivision. We simply want to go down there. And we've decided that we should probably go meet with the assessor's office who actually make these depictions on the GIS and say, look, this is what we have for square footage. These are the bounds, the meets and bounds. This is where it's going to go. Draw that up, and that's what you're going to get your tax revenues from. So it's a matter of Greg and I are still going to meet with the city about that again.
Yeah, because other than the tax assessment on the property, the city should be
It's a very special.
It's not a subdivision.
Right. It's a special circumstance that's unique to this airport
right.
and this city. And it's been done before.
Yeah. We need to cross the street.
Right. You did it across the street. Every one of these properties on here, all the Hangar condominiums, everything.
Yeah.
Hangar 81, the most recent. It's all been done before. So.
Okay, so the order of things now is that you and Greg have to meet with the city again?
Yes.
And get that?
Yep.
Get that meets and bounds.
And I've been trying to meet with Greg.
And then you guys are going to overlay it onto the airport plan to figure out where it's all going to fit.
And we're going to discuss more of this, too, in the non-public this evening, okay. Guys, as it's a real estate issue.
Yeah.
Okay. So, new business, denying aviation mandates represented by Gail.
Yes. So I'll take off my airport engineer's hat and put on the civil engineer's hat. We are representing Mr. Nyko, who's here tonight, for the development of initially a single hangar with ramp space and connection taxiway alpha, the potential for future hangar structure to be built.
That's what this is?
Yes, that is the graphic.
Jess, do you have this paper in front of you?
It's the last page in the report.
It was emailed separately, too. Mm-hmm.
I have the attachment open for the hangar, but I don't see an additional. I don't see an additional document on my email.
It's one picture, so yeah. It's one picture with a bunch of yellow airplanes.
Drawing three.
Yes, I have that one. Yes, okay. There's a separate document. No, but I have that.
Okay.
And similar to the Infinity land lease, we've established a boundary of a land lease for an IA aviation, and we'll be looking for a motion from the board to move forward with processing the land lease paperwork for an IA aviation. Do you have anything to say to that?
That's Peter. Pleasure to meet you all, and the Colorado Airport, and I'm looking forward to
good. Looking forward to being here.
What do you mean by processing the land lease paperwork?
Well, the land lease itself is documents created by the authority or by the assessor's office. So,
and that's the standard form that you choose the last one you use, isn't it? Or that Steve Holton does that?
None of us have done this in this room.
Yeah,
and that's why we met with the city. You did?
No, I haven't done this. And definitely need a lot number.
And the other thing, Brian, is that the infinity part of this also has to be done. So
right, it's the same thing we were just talking about.
We now have to do it for this one as well.
Well, we're doing this one first, it sounds like. Yeah.
I think there's...
Well, the infinity paperwork is further along.
It's already done.
Yeah. Right, but in terms of... getting these two lots established, we're going to try to do this simultaneously.
Right. Is there a way, and Nick, maybe you have something, that we can see the two of them together?
I don't have anything right now, but we can certainly put them together.
Yeah, because it'd be really nice to see how this is all going to, I mean, we don't have to do it tonight for anything we can decide tonight, but it would be nice to see the whole layout of them. And this is, these two parcels are... That's pretty much going to be it, as far as any developable land.
Without moving taxiway alpha, it does appear. I mean, there's some space sort of between the backside of the westernmost hangar and where Greg Manley's ends. There might be enough room in that area for another land lease, but short of relocating alpha. Yeah, you pretty much built out.
And if we could relocate Alpha, that opens up a whole bunch of space out front of everything, right?
Correct.
But building these will not preclude us from doing that. Triggering event, right?
Right. The triggering event in this case would be another developer wants to come in and build for the available real estate.
Which is kind of what this was all leading towards, Dave.
Yeah.
More so Greg's development, because that's where FAA and New Hampshire DOT said, well, you have to develop this first.
So my point is that by doing this, is this going to inhibit
a third person coming in and saying, you know, what if they don't want to be out in front? I mean, because what that tells me is that these guys do their development, and then someone that comes along and then jumps in front of them between the taxiway, the new taxiway. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this should help us get the runway, get the taxiway moving, correct?
Well, this is step two, which you have to check to get to step one, that then
right.
The taxiway. So,
okay.
Well, I think it would be good for us to, you know, I had Chris drive me around and try and show me from the master plan, you know, once these two go in, and actually before we want these to go forward, but we just want to make sure we're not leaving land out there that's going to now become
landlocked or undesirable.
Yeah, but piece
of land. As far as Gail's approach to this, we've been working together on this, is to maximize the use of this land.
Right.
That's exactly what this one does.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Greg's as well. It's you know, started outside the fence.
Right. Maybe your point, Dave, the idea of overlaying, combining, and then showing the future taxiway
sure.
location with all the future developables for
yeah.
the
yeah,
lot.
That's something later.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Oh, yeah, there's a potential if you move
yeah,
the
yeah.
taxiway to something here.
It helps for development.
Even
too, but then
something
you can
right here.
Yeah. That's what your land would look like.
Right.
Okay. No. Yeah.
So what's
almost
the
like
actual
a
motion?
Plan. Right. Exactly. I want to build a house. Where?
Just for this to continue on.
I believe it would be the same motion that Greg requested, authorizing Chris to negotiate a land lease with an IA division.
I'd make that motion.
Okay, second it. Jessica, do you have that motion from when we allowed Greg to do it?
So I have the documents
that, and I just didn't quite hear what you said. You said, do I have a motion? I just
read
the motion made to allow Chris to negotiate on our behalf.
Basically, same thing, yeah.
Same thing, only with
this
development.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
That works. Okay.
And one more thing, we'll be discussing again in non-public this evening, establishing a land lease rate
yep.
For Mr. Coe. Or an IA division.
I will comment, Chris, Lisa, and I are Greg and I are chatting, and we have a pretty strong relationship. And so I'm meeting with him next week to review both of our plans to see if we can create you know, something that might be helpful, just so there's communication on both our parts as well. I just wanted to share that with you.
Good. That's great.
Great.
Any chance of using this building?
We're going to talk about that in non-public tonight, too.
Yeah, so
I think Brian.
Or does Brian
have? Yeah, the good. Yeah, Brian. Yeah,
what he said.
All right, we put forth the motion to authorize Manager Lynch to do the due diligence required on behalf of the National Airport Authority in pursuit of the land lease for an IA aviation.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, would you call the roll, please, sir?
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries.
This is a very exciting proposal. I know we're looking at a picture of boxes with some planes in them, but Nye, would you want to share the types of aircraft that you're bringing in?
Absolutely.
Other than myself, so everybody knows.
And will there be about 11 of them?
Hopefully. Well, I have a relationship with HondaJet.
Yeah.
Where we'll be managing HondaJet sold in the New England area. We have four HondaJet currently that we're going to be managing. That would be hangared in the first hangar. They have a HondaJet 2600 that's been developed. And they have a lot of buyers. They're booking business now, they're in 2028. A lot of buyers purchasing, owning HondaJets for the New England area, and they're looking for a base. So Nye Aviation will be, you know, internally we're HondaJet North, but we'll be managing HondaJet Seoul up in this area. So it's kind of, you know, working with HondaJet down in Greensboro, we're looking at, this is all off record, but we're discussing airports in the region and the area, and we we really like Nashua as kind of our base. Like, it's along the runway, you're outside of the Bravo, you're closer to Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
It just made a lot of sense, you know, a few away from, you know, Bedford and some other stuff areas. So really excited to make this happen. I think this is a great opportunity for both of us. It will be nice shiny jets that come in here and we'll bring a lot of business to the area. So I'm excited. We have the first Honda jet that Wilson and I will be managing will be taking delivery in June. And then we have three coming in June of next year. So we'll try to get this hangar ready by next summer if possible.
So is this a phased project? So you do the hangar to the west and then
yeah,
you do the bigger one?
So we're going to focus on the first hangar, which is the southern hangar, the eastern hangar.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. So the larger hangar is your first.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that will fill up with aircraft, and then as these other aircraft start coming off the production line, you know, when the AWOC moves or however it works with you, you can start a second hangar and keep moving.
And then, but this is all, you're taking all, this is all one parcel, correct?
Yes. Okay. The intent is to land lease the entire parcel in inspection and expectations of growing.
And Nye, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have other aircraft other than the jets that are coming to Nashua as well?
Yeah, we have, right now we have 7 aircraft. We right now have a Belfort 70XI that we're taking delivery next month that we'll be managing. We have helicopters, Robinson. My company, Sean and I, we have strong relationships with Cirrus. Another reason why we're talking to Greg. A lot of Vision jets. The 2600 and TC-24 essentially coming as well. So guys kind of limit. Spoke to Textron, actually had lunch with them today. So I think they're aware that Anai is an operator that he can provide services for owners here in the Northeast. Because this private jet aviation is really taking off. With very few places to have full service management, pilot services, care, movement.
Any maintenance going on?
So right now, I'm focusing on the managing side of storing and hangaring. That's where the discussion with Greg is coming into play. And he has a strong footprint here in maintenance and what we can work as a collaborative team.
Mm-hmm.
Divide and conquer, kind of share that together. So
good.
At this point, not for me, but I know HondaJet does want a maintenance facility up here. The nearest one is down in Maryland. And with the amount of HondaJets jets that are coming to the Northeast, it would be easier to have a facility up here. So, yeah. I'm excited. I'm really happy to meet all of you and great airport. So,
thank
you. That's
definitely a gem.
Nice.
Thank you for coming today.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nye.
Nice to meet all of you in person.
Okay.
Just recommending that to virtually meet you.
Yeah, that's
almost.
When are you going to be here?
Almost. hopefully soon, maybe next month.
She's better in person. I don't know if you want to be here next month. The auditors may be here, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the reality is I got to wait for ski season to slow down here in Colorado before heading back.
Well, yeah, you're
how much snow do you have?
Actually, maybe less than you have right there.
Yeah, you've been doing way too much skiing. You still work?
Well,
are you still working out there?
Right here.
You still working out there?
I do work a lot. Yes, I'm not skiing. I'm working really well.
Okay, so upcoming events, Chris has already mentioned Wheels and Wings, September 23 of this year, and that brings us to public input. Okay, going once, going twice.
Looks like the crew did their usual good job plowing.
You
came over this morning expecting to have to use my snow shovel. Nope, all clean.
Yeah, I had the same experience, so it was very pleasant. Especially, you know, that snow was like cement.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, director's comments. Jeff, we'll start with you today.
I guess I'll just extend another warm welcome to Mr. Poe. Very, very pleased to have you at the airport, and hope to see you in person soon. And I just wanted to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you.
I'd like to second the welcome as well. I'm sure it'll be third and fourth and fifth as we go down the line here, but that's about all right now.
This is probably one of the most exciting times at our airport right now, other than the building, the renovation of this building. This is great. So make sure, hopefully we can, well, not hopefully, we will be able to get this thing done and have a great partnership going forward.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this too. I want to really be happy to see more buildings in the airport, more business here. You definitely want that. And Chris, a shout out again to the plowing job you've been doing. Other folks.
Just stop breaking stuff, would you?
Brian?
I'm glad you're all safe in that storm. I'm doing that safely. Thank you for taking that as the highest priority and welcome. Really exciting new development at the airport. So the only downside is it'll be harder to get a table at the Midfield Cafe, but that's a good problem to have.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
So adjournment to the non-public session pursuant to RSA 91A3-2B, consideration of the acquisition, sale, or lease of real or personal property.
So moved.
Second?
Yes.
All those, roll call, please.
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
And Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay, we are adjourned to non-public. Thank you.